Hey listeners, it's Nick from Kevlar Joe's Coffee Company. I want to invite you to try something new. Here at Kevlar Joe's Coffee Company, we have a bold and slow-roasted coffee that is 100% organic and ethically sourced. There are no pesticides or fungicides from the plantations we import our coffee from, and it's all single-sourced too. We have light, medium, and dark roast. Even decaf coffee as well to satisfy whatever kind of coffee you drink. We also have a variety of flavor coffees for you to try, including our hazelnut and apple pie flavor coffees, which are both big sellers. You can order our coffee at www.kevlarjoes.com. You can also follow us at Facebook, Instagram, or X for Kevlar Joe news, deals, and your daily dose of coffee-related memes, so make sure to like and follow our pages. And I'll leave you with this, listener. The world isn't a safe place right now, and it seems like it's always teetering on the edge. But don't forget, like it says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill and cannot be hid. Let your light shine before all men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So be bold, be humble, and be Kevlar.
My name is L.A. Margilli.
This is Dr. Aaron Judkins.
This is Trey Smith.
This is Ryan Peterson.
This is Dr. Judd Burton.
This is Timothy Albrino.
This is Derek Gilbert, and you're listening to The Dig Bible Podcast.
Glad you made it. Come along for the ride as we search for hidden truth, explore historical context, and dig into God's Word to help us understand the past, present, and future of this supernatural world. This is Steve, along with Justin and Ben, and you are listening to the Dig Bible Podcast.
What is going on, all my local guys and gals and long distance pals?
We're back.
We're back.
That's as deep as I can get. I don't go any. I don't have Ben's voice. I just don't have it.
Right.
You got to grab your throat. Well, no, they'd be like, "Where am I?"
Well, I'm excited this week. We got a returning guest this week, right? From the ministry at Vineyard Northwest Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. The founder of Behold Wonder, a seer prophet, Micah Turnbow, is back with us, and I am super excited about this. After last time, I think I had more questions after we talked to you than I did, you know, before we started, because it just, it's such an amazing, gift that you have and the ability to kind of, give some insight to people. And it really truly gives us hope, you know, it just gives us more proof. It gives us more truth, showing the Bible continues to show us, you know, the truth.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate your time. I know Justin appreciates your time. Ben appreciates your time from somewhere out there.
yeah.
But just awesome you're to have welcome. You back, my friend.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. And you're absolutely welcome. You're absolutely welcome. It's my joy to be here with you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just a lot of fun. And the first time we had you on, I immediately, you know, reached out to you and was like, hey, let's have you over to the Prometheus Lens. And we had you over there and we talked about, you know, the Deuteronomy 32 worldview and that the sons of God. And just like Steve said, you just continue to amaze and blow my mind, because I just mentioned, you know, Daniel 7 with the whole Deuteronomy 32 worldview. And you're like, well, hey, I was there. Let me tell you about it.
Right. Yes. 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 That was probably one of the most intense things I've ever experienced, was that. Yeah. Those events. Yeah, absolutely. I wish I could turn them into movies. If I had that skill to make movies or things like that, man, I would love to turn them into movies. But hopefully one day the Lord will, allow that to happen. Cause my thing is, I just want people to see it and experience it in some kind of a way. You know, I can't take people to heaven with me. If I could, shoot, I'd be like, just come on, and, you know, and drop you guys off there and you can experience it yourselves, you know,
Micah's magic school bus.
Oh my gosh. I wish I had a magical school bus and just take y'all for a drive, but I just can't, you know? And so Which is one thing, if I may, is that separates me from some of the other ones who claim to go into these supernatural experiences, that, you know, they try to bring people to heaven, and they ask me, can you do that? And I'm like, oh, there's no way I can. I mean, I can't control it when it happens. I make myself available, you know, to the Lord, but it's not something that I can conjure up, you know, and do. It's all like Paul, the Lord catches me up into the spirit world. I can feel it when it comes on, when it's about to happen. And sometimes I'm prepared. And even when I know it's coming, sometimes it's totally shocking, you know, but it's all Jesus. Mm-hmm.
I think that's awesome the way you said that, though, because when you talk about, if you go back into Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and we're talking about, it says we're not supposed to conjure things up. We're not supposed to call on the spirits of the dead. We're not supposed to do these things. So it's being made available and calling for these things are two totally separate things.
Yes.
Because then you get close to that mediums and things of that nature, which is that's a dark path to follow.
It really is. I mean, and I get asked all the time to talk to someone who passed and went to heaven or something. You know, I've had people give me money to do it, you know, 10 grand to do it. And I had to say no, because that's just not why I have the gift. And that's not something I can control that way. You know, recently I had someone just recently when I spoke at a church, they came up to me crying and heart opened and just desperate to know if a loved one went to heaven. And I had to comfort him another way. I said that I can't do that. I can't tell you if they've gone. That's not something I can do, you know. But, you know, that's why there's wisdom and how you're there's a line between obedience to the Lord, you know, and then using your gift for yourself, you know. And I have to clarify those lines all the time. It's like, no. You know, I know this is an incredible gift, you know, but there are lines that are not to be crossed, you know, otherwise you get spirits of divination, you get demonic spirits, fallen spirits, all those things that try to deceive and all that. And my gift comes from God and is for God. And so sometimes you hurt people's feelings, but I am bound to Lord Jesus, you know, I cling to him. My heart is his. And, they will always be his. So
that's awesome. And again, same thing. Like I said, you go back to that Levitical thing. God doesn't warn over and over and over again not to do this because you can't. It's because you can, but you don't know what you're calling up. Like you said, demonic spirits, things of this nature. You don't know.
You don't know.
So those things are real. It's there.
Yeah.
But you don't know what you're calling on.
Right.
It's like the Yahoo chat box back in the 90s. You don't know who you're talking to on the other end.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
That's right. You don't know who you're talking to on the other end. That is correct.
This is demonic catfishing. Demonic catfishing.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, I have made that mistake. You know, and I love when we talk about these kind of subjects, because I love talking about heaven, but I also like talking about things, failures that I've done and mistakes that I've made. I've made that mistake where I have conjured up, you know, demonic spirits. I have let myself cross the boundary, you know, without the Holy Spirit. You know, I have... me and a friend tried to enter into the spiritual realm without the Holy Spirit, and he lost his life. He never came back, you know, and I did, because I had a praying mom, you know? So that stuff is it's real, and it's dangerous without the Holy Spirit, you know, to enter into those realms. I've conjured up things. Like you said, you don't know who you're talking to on the other side. I have, I tried to experiment, got myself, you know, a supernatural spell book, and try to use those incantations. And when I did, I conjured up a demon, and an angel of the Lord saved my life. Came, stepped right in between us. And the angel I usually don't see angels angry, you know, all the time, especially at me, you know, angry at the devils, but he was upset, and he pointed his finger at me. He said, I saved your life. He says, do not do that ever again. You know, and I was like, okay, you know, so that stuff is real. And It's very real. The dark side is equally just as real as God's side. You know, so we have to clarify, this is good. Do it this way. Jesus is Lord. Follow Jesus. You know, worship him. Don't give that stuff over to any other spirit other than him.
I don't know if you're comfortable talking about that, because I mean, this leads into a lot of what I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
But if you're comfortable talking about that experience, you said you and a friend went and he did not come back. Do you feel comfortable talking about that?
Sure. Yeah. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were trying to, he was a good friend of mine, and I won't say his name, but he was a good friend of mine. You know, we had a lot of the same giftings, and it's fun. You know, you want to experiment. You're branching out, trying to figure all this thing out, you know. And I was over at his house, and we entered the spiritual world. And when we entered the spiritual realm, I remember walking through, you know, the spiritual world is just as vibrant. It, you know, you could still be on the earth and be in the spirit world. And in that spiritual world on the earth, there's different types of flora, different types of colors and buildings and the civilizations and things in the spiritual world. That's just, we can't see those things because they're made up of different substance yet. We can't see them yet. But we were passing through, and we were following this spirit that told us he was a good spirit, and I didn't have the ability to discern. We both didn't. And he led us into this pit. It was a pit full of, they were demons, but they were sluggish and slimy. It was a long, deep pit. And I remember falling into that pit. We both fell into that pit. And, I start to cry out to God. You know, my mom always taught me, my parents always taught me, call the name of Jesus because he will get there faster than I can. And there was no way my mom can get to me here in the spiritual world, or my dad. So I called out to Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me. I remember saying that, help me. And I was telling my friend, call out to Jesus, call out to Jesus, call out to Jesus. And this, he didn't want to, he wanted to go further. And he fell into that black pit, a dark pit. And a hand reached down to the pit, a hand of light came and pulled me out. And I ended up back into my body. And my friend was in a coma for a long time until his body just passed. And it grieved me because I asked the Lord, I said, what happened? The Lord said, you know, he entered the world without my guidance, the spiritual world without my guidance and without my wisdom. And he said, there are spirits in the spiritual realm that that are very dangerous. And do not have any intention of keeping you alive. He says, so it's better and safer to go with me, to go with whom I send you. Because sometimes what will send to me, because sometimes the Lord will send an angel, or it'll be the Holy Spirit or Jesus or the Father themselves that will take me. But I learned something that day, to have wisdom, you know, and to don't go with any spirit that does not carry the presence of Jesus. And so I made it my life's goal to become intimate with Jesus, because he told me, he said, let me tell you a secret, Micah. You know, when we were talking through that, because I was so grieved because he was my friend. He said, know me intimately, know my word intimately. He said, because any spirit that I send to you will always carry my presence. And if you don't know my presence, if you don't know my presence, then you can easily be deceived. So I make it, some people tell me, like, you need to ask the spirit. You need to ask the spirit. And I have tried to ask spirits sometimes, and they are very good liars. They can be very good liars. Guys, they've been around for years and years and years. So they know how humans think, especially demons. Remember, demons once had a body. They once had a physical body, even though it was more of a supernatural body, but they had physical brains and muscles and all the things that humans felt, they also felt. So they know how humans think. That's why they're so good at deceiving humans, you know, but now they lost their body. But anyway, the Lord told me, he said, know who I am, know my voice, because any spirit that comes to you, if you do not feel me off of them, if you do not feel my presence, that's an immediate red flag. That's immediate red flag. So I made it. But guys,
yeah, well, just thanks for sharing lesson. That, man.
Yeah, because you're welcome.
Mean, not only is that, you know, hard for you to even share and relive, but at the same time, you know, you're being vulnerable and showing people, hey, yeah. I'm human. I screw up just like everybody else. I'm no different than you. And you're not, you know, you just have a special gift that God's given you. And we all have gifts that God's given to us that we're supposed to use for the kingdom. So you know, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate you being vulnerable and honest.
You're welcome. That's a very good question to ask because, I hope I can help people who are branching out and growing in this, because there's other people who have gifts like me, you know, and I want them to learn, like, there are boundaries. There are boundaries that are there for our safety. You know, that we follow the Lord. We make sure we are in step with him when it comes to the spiritual world, because there are things there in the spiritual realms that we don't understand, you know, and that can be dangerous. It's still awesome. I mean, I don't want it to be like, oh my gosh, now I'm scared of it. No, don't be scared of it, but treat it seriously like you would a firearm, you know, like you would a firearm. You treat it seriously. You know, it can be dangerous if it's not used correctly.
That's the same with God's word. You look at intent, right? People take, a lot of times, they'll take one verse out of the Bible to fit their narrative, but it's out of context. So anytime you use something, it's all about the intent that you use it with.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's so many things behind that. Intent has shaped our world, and it continues to.
Yes. I love that you said that about the Bible, and I love the scriptures, but I will not. And I went to a Church of Christ college where they didn't believe in nothing. Okay. But I appreciated it because it gave me a love for the scriptures and it taught me how to read things in context. And I will not put my experiences above the Bible. I will not put them above the scriptures. And I love the scriptures. I read them. Sometimes they make me just weep and they're just the best things. I love the scriptures and I won't take scriptures out of context. If the Bible doesn't say it, it just doesn't say it.
True.
And I believe that's a mistake in some of the prophetic movement in the seers and the prophets is that we're unwilling to say like, hey, I haven't found this in scripture and I'm okay with it. I'm okay that I don't know where it is, you know? And if we start making things up and we start trying to piece things together that the scriptures say that it doesn't say, then we get into lying. Okay. And I will not do that. I'm okay with saying I experienced this. Yeah, it was God. But I haven't found it in the Bible and I've been looking, you know, there's things that I've experienced years ago, and I'm now discovering in the scripture. You know, and it may not be something that the Lord revealed to me personally through my own study, but when I'm going to a sermon or I'm listening to someone who has a different gifting than me, especially teachers, strong teachers, theological teachers, man, I love them so much because they are able to find passages and scriptures of my encounters. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And I've been searching and there it is. You know, I appreciate the other gifts of the body. You know, but I love what you said about the Bible. And I believe that's a maturity that people with my kind of gifting we're going to come into is a love for the scriptures and not putting our experiences above the Bible.
I love that you said that too, very much. I think that's an excellent point to make. And that's so important is that we always go back. It always says test the spirits.
Yes.
Test it against scripture. Always know.
Yes.
That's a big part of our discernment and things of that nature as well.
Yes. Yes.
Now, you had kind of segued into this a little bit, and you are the king of spiritual segues a lot of times.
I am.
Or supernatural segues, we could say it that way.
Yeah, I do.
But we talked a little bit about evil spirits, and you said, you know, sometimes it's hard to discern those things. Sometimes they can show us positive, negative, whatever. Mm-hmm. But going back to what are you just – and you even said it. You said they had bodies at one time. Mm-hmm.
They did.
And in my belief, you know, I believe that too, but the, now a lot of people in this day and age, you know, you hear about hauntings or these different things. I mean, there's so many different things we can talk about in a supernatural way.
Yes.
But if we go through and we're doing a study right now on the Book of Enoch, which has been, it's
fantastic
fun.
Book.
Love diving into it. I know it's not, you know, part of canon, but all it does is it strengthens my faith and it shows me it sews the pieces of the Bible together. Like it just shows you things. You just, it's a historical document that helps continue to show the validity of the Bible.
And goes along with it.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right.
So the Book of Enoch says that evil spirits are the souls left over of the Nephilim, you know, the children of the Watchers.
Yeah.
And now I wanted to know your take on that. Is that something true? Because I truly don't believe that it, and this is personal opinion once again, but if you look at like Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, you know, the dust returns to earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So when someone passes away, you know, they're not hanging around.
Right.
I think they're going up. Their spirit goes, you know, to be absent from the body means to be with God.
Yeah.
And there you are. So what is your thought on the Enoch idea of evil spirits?
Oh my gosh. When I read the Book of Enoch, because I was told that, you know, and I, you know, well, being a seer, sometimes you see just the dark side. The Lord allows you to see the dark side and hear the conversations that go on and watch them. It's kind of like I was a spy in a camp of demons and watching them thrive in this pain and agony. And one of the angels who was with me, he said, you know, they used to have bodies because they were the spirits of the giants, the Nephilim. And I was like, I remember saying, angel, I've never heard of that before. You know, I always thought that being raised that demons were fallen angels. But we, you know, going in the spirit, I realized, wait, fallen angels are actually different and the demons are actually different. And so I remember writing that encounter down and watching the demons hunt for bodies and reading that verse when the demons were asking, you know, Jesus to send them into the pigs, and that became a whole new thing. I was just like, oh, wait a minute. Pigs is, the angel told me, he said, they would rather be in some form of a body than to be absent. And I thought, oh, that is strange. And so I finally picked up the Book of Enoch much later in my grad school. I went to grad school and for theology, and we read the Book of Enoch, and I remember reading it. And I said, oh, this is all these years ago. That's why I love teachers. I love theology. I love it. You know, and so I was like, and my brother-in-law, he was in the class with me, and he's a left brain guy. So he's like all theology and stuff. And so I will ask him questions and things, but we're reading it together. And I'm like, and he knows I have these encounters. And I'm saying, this is what I was talking about. They're these demons. They're the spirits of the Nephilim, the giants. And he said, what? You've seen that? And I was like, yes. So it's very true. And I began to learn as I began to ask God and the Lord would take me to these places, that this is why demons want to be in bodies so much is because they had one previously. And the Lord would not, it's like they're cursed to this world. Because the Lord would not receive them because they were bred out of sin and mixture. They did not belong to God. There was no spirit that came from God into that body. Like you said, the spirit returns, you know. Well, the Nephilim spirits came from fallen angels and their physical bodies came from the humans, you know, the mixtures. So they'd have, God was like, I'm not taking them back. The 200 watchers are going into the prison. You know, the abyss, you know, and I've been to that place guarded by, that's a horrible place. In fact, they are, and in chains, when they're in chains, the chains actually formed into them. So they have merged with the chains. It's incredible. It's a deep, dark cave and that has no floor, and they are merged in with the chains and they're held there. They cannot come out. And so Lord put them in there. But the giants, when they died, the Lord said, I'm not taking them. So they roamed. They began to just to roam the earth, looking for new bodies, looking for things to, bodies to inhabit. So when I discovered that, it made me realize like, oh, that's why demons, one of their major attacks on humans is their physical body. You are ugly. You are not beautiful. You are worthless. You are this. You are that. They always attack our physical beauty presence. That's one of their strongest things, is to make our make us shameful of our physical bodies when God designed them to be beautiful. And, you know, demons, they continue to grow uglier. You know, and the angel told me, we were watching that camp. He said, they hate, he said, demons hate the way they look. They are so full of shame that they hide in darkness. They willingly choose to hide in darkness because they cannot stand how they look. When they once had those physiques, when they walked on the earth, these giants, when they walked on the earth, they were mixtures of these watchers, and these watchers were stunning. You know, and so they had these strong physiques and abilities and, you know, and things like that. And now they're just these rotting, decaying spirits that wander. And they just can't stand the way they look now. So they immediately attack humans, their physical beauty.
Well, do you believe that they were, you know, as the Bible says, the mighty men of old? So like when we mm-hmm. get into like Greek mythology, you know, Hercules, mm-hmm. Achilles,
yep.
and, you know, Perseus, all these men that were described, you know, as, you know, bodies mm-hmm. like, you know, quote unquote Greek gods, and had all these supernatural abilities and was wooing yeah. women. And do you, mm-hmm. I mean, do you think there's any validity to that? Like, maybe these were actually who these people were, or just mm-hmm. maybe inflated stories of these mm-hmm. Nephilim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yes, they are definitely the stories that we read. And I believe the giants, this is why I believe the earth is extremely old, because they had the ability to spread and to multiply on the earth. And they were in stories and lore for that other cultures told and passed down. And I believe a lot of these great warriors, these great men and women in these stories were part of that generation of the Nephilim and the giants and all those things. I do also believe that the gods had different names that were, you know, the gods of the nations had changed their names around, you know, Zeus and Odin and all these things changed their names. You know, I once experienced, and this was something that I still am trying to wrap my head around, when Jesus ascended into heaven and he defeated all the gods in, you know, of the air, when he ascended into heaven, there were battle scenes that went on. You know, I watched Jesus literally like break and destroy the powers of the Roman gods, you know, like, and they were these brutal wars, you know, like Jesus is so powerful, so beautiful, and yet so powerful that he ruined them. He ruined those gods and dismantled them and displaced them, you know, when he ascended. And I'm like, man, that would be a sweet movie, you know, like to see Jesus versus those gods of the air when he defeated them, man. When he ascended, man, I would love those things to be shown, you know, so people could see just how mighty, you know, Jesus is when he ascended, you know, into heaven, split the firmament, you know. But yeah, I believe those stories are of those great men and women that were told, and cultures were part of the generation of the Nephilim.
Now, question, you brought up a little bit about how they're searching for a body, and it does talk in Enoch yeah. about how they, you know, basically they will thirst and they won't be able to drink, you know, they'll yeah. hunger, they won't be able to eat, those types of things. But they're, yeah. so they're always going after that body, which,
yeah,
you know, we've seen in pop culture for years, and we've, in some ways in real life, we've seen it. And obviously, biblically, we've seen demon possession. So demon possession is something that I think a lot of people think is just a Hollywood idea. I think it's much, obviously, I know it's much more real than that. You know, we talk about Mary Magdalene and the seven demons that were in her. And we talk about, you know, there we know a few different, me and Justin met a few different deliverance preachers or just people that are in the deliverance ministry that have talked about the stories of casting out demons. Now, demons in that way are, I always think of possession, you know, I think people either think either you're possessed or you're not, but you were talking about how they kind of attack your, you know, your idea of your beauty or how you look or giving you that shame. Is there levels of possession? Do you believe, is there like, you know, you have it, like, is it just living inside you because you've invited it in? Or is there a level where something's just, you know, you have a little bit sitting on your shoulder and he's just with you all the time?
Like,
there's definitely various ways that they try to attack you. Sometimes they will enter into you and they will try and control you that way, and a deliverance is required. And then sometimes they are around you. I had one demon that it was like this ugly black rat that had the head of a human. It was like a part of her. It was because these demons can change shape sometimes. But it was weird. It was like the head of this human rat kind of thing. And it was following me around, and it would spit these curses. And I would, like, when I say curses, like, they would say things like, you know, you just hate God, or isn't this a shame, or you're useless, you're worthless, kind of thing. And I found myself saying those words, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit snapped me out of it. He's like, you are mimicking the voice of a demon that is trying to attack you right now. So I remember turning around, and that big, ugly rat demon thing, you know, and I just began to, I spoke to it, and I said, you get away from me in the name of Jesus. I spoke to it and rebuked it, and it left. You know, so sometimes there are various different degrees, you know, where they try to influence you, come on you, come in you, be in your vicinity. I mean, I prayed for people where I've seen demons on people, you know, and the Lord would have me do like an action. You know, there was one that I saw was like a big black, it was looked like a male, and it had these feathered wings on its arms, and its face was inward. Because remember, demons are continually decaying because the glory of God isn't on them, so they continue to decay and rot and look uglier and uglier. But it was sitting on the head of this person, and I'm ministering and praying, you know, for people in this service, and I noticed that demon sitting on top, and it's just going, blah, you know, like, blah, like it just was, it couldn't stand being there. It was like making these weird faces. And so I said, Lord, what do you want me to do about it? And he said, well, how, I love Jesus. He said, how do you get rid of a bird? And I said, you go over and you swat it. And the Lord said, oh, then you should do that. And so I said, really? I'm thinking like, exactly. I was like, really? And the Lord said, yeah. And so I went to, like, you know, and as I went over, you know, I'm trying to be, and I went over to get ready. The Lord, Holy Spirit said in my other ear, he said, just make sure you don't hit him in the face. I was like, right. Right, Holy Spirit. Okay, don't actually hit them. He said, you know, he said, hit the bird, you know. And so I took my hand over his head and I just swatted like that. And the person, this presence of the Lord came with the person, they went, and they just fell to the ground. And the demon went, wah, you know, freaked out. And this angel comes in with a black trash bag, puts the demon in the trash bag and sends it off. The angel carried the demon off. And I was like, wow, that's easy. That was.
Took out the trash.
Yeah, you know, take out the trash. That's right. The angels come in there and take out the garbage, you know? So yeah, that was an interesting thing. And then I have times where I've cast the demons out of people, you know, and it's not as difficult as people think. You know, it's demons are, they throw on a show a lot because they want to be in control of a situation. You know, and I know that I have authority because I belong to Jesus and he lives inside me. you know, and the power of the Holy Spirit's inside me. So I know those, I'm like, no, you can't act like that around me. I had, there was one time I was in a service and this demon was manifesting in this person and it started to spit. And I approached the thing, the person, and told her, I said, you stop spitting, you know, and I tried to talk. And I said, no, I said, stop spitting because I don't want you spitting on nobody. Stop spitting. And then we began to deal with it. It cast the spirit out. I started casting the spirit out and it was going to come out through a puke. And I told the demon, no, I said, no, you can't come out through a puke. I don't want to clean up. So this is how you're going to come out. I told the spirit how it's going to leave and it had to obey because I have authority. And I know a lot of that stuff that they do is just drama. Anything that they can do to keep them, to keep you distracted from dealing with what's happening. You know, they will do, they're like toddlers that just scream and kick and cry when you tell them, no, stop, get up, you know, get up, stop. You are in control of the situation. Go to your room. You know, I said, go to your room. Why? Because I said so. Go to your room. You know, sometimes you got to treat devils like that. Like you got to go. What? I said, go. You know, you got to get out. It doesn't require any screaming or theatric things from you. When they recognize authority, they recognize authority. You don't have to raise your voice. Demons can hear. I remember I raised my voice at one person that was possessed by a devil. I raised my voice. I got all loud. And the demon said to the person, I'm not deaf. I said, that's right. You see, guys, I learned things too. I had to learn stuff too. I was like, oh. And I went back and I talked to the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Holy Spirit told me. He said, Micah, he said, the reason why you raise your voice is because you're insecure. You believe you have a power struggle. He said, when it comes to me, there is no power struggle. You don't need to, as long as you speak clearly and you speak with authority, the demons will obey. They will obey. It may take you a minute because Jesus kept, you know, when the person with legion popped, when Jesus approached, the devil approached Jesus, those demons, Jesus kept saying, who are you? Who are you? Come out of him. Who are you? Jesus was saying that over and over again. So if Jesus needs to say, when he was here, needed to say things a few times to get things happen, how much more than me? But I don't need to raise my voice out of insecurity. I don't need to do theatrics to power struggle with a demon. When God said, Jesus said, I have given you authority to tread over, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's how I feel about it. I just get passionate about it because I'm like, we don't need to do all that. You don't need to do all that.
That's something you see authority. A lot too. Like when you see a lot of these deliverance ministries, because when you were talking, I was, you know, trying to let you finish, but that was one thing that was going off in my mind. You see it a lot. They spit. They even hold bowls out for them to spit in. They usually will vomit the spirit out and stuff. That's a very common thing. And that's them. That's the demons. I like your perspective. That's the demons even trying to take control of how they leave.
Yeah, they're just disgusting like that. And you know, not everybody's going to think the way that I do, you know. I mean, as long as a demon comes out, I'm happy. But I believe that there's going to be a much simpler way, a more effective way. See, guys, I want to do it the way Jesus did it. I want to do it the way Jesus did it. I told the Lord, I've been in some of these services and these demons go on and on and on and these deliver. And I say, Lord, why does it have to take? So how did you do it? You know, how did you do it? You know, what's going on? I want to do it the way he's done it. And, you know, and I realized in the deliverances and things that I've been in, the most wonderful ways that I've seen deliverances happen, guys, it didn't evolve screaming. It didn't evolve some of that stuff. I did not hold, I'm sorry, y'all, but I did not hold a mic to the voice of the devil, asking it to talk in the mic. I didn't do that. I didn't have time for that. I was like, you got to get out of here because there's other people. This is literally what I told a demon one time in the person. I said, look, you got to go. And they go, oh, no. I said, no, no. I said, you got to go because there's other people who need prayer and you're getting on my nerves. That's literally what I told him. You got to go. And so the demon left. It left. The person opened up its mouth And the thing just came right on out. Because I was like, I don't have time. I'm not going to entertain this. I'm not going to entertain this. This is not for entertainment. I want people to see the glory of God, yes, but I'm not going to sit there and let you take 5 minutes of this show. You know? So that's just the way I do it. I know other people have different, you know, they want to do things the way they, whatever. But I would rather have people go into visions and dreams, spend the last 30 minutes, visions and dreams, and me pulling on the devil.
Steve, who ever thought that we'd have went this route? I love how we just let the spirit take it and it goes where it goes. And, you know, I mean, who thought we'd be with Micah Turnbow and it would turn into deliverance, demons, and Nephilim. Oh, my.
Yeah.
and I'm not done with my questions. I'm not done with my questions. I got some more questions.
You keep going. I'm so sorry. I am the king of bunny trails because I have so many stories.
Oh,
so.
No, we love that. And believe me, when we're on our own and we're doing our own thing, we are probably 10 times worse. Okay. And the different tangents we get on, it would blow your mind. But
oh, good, good, good.
Now, the next thing I kind of want to talk about, and it piggybacks off this, it might not seem like it at first, but we talked about evil spirits, and we said Book of Enoch talks about that, and you know, you've kind of given your stamp of approval on the idea that these are the spirits of the Nephilim. We know that.
They are.
So,
yeah.
So many people in nowadays will talk about hauntings and things of these natures. Oh, somebody has unfinished business, or somebody has this, or somebody, you know, this is, they just weren't ready to go yet. And like I said, I don't believe that. So when somebody does pass, what happens? You know, how, I mean, is it, the Bible says, you know, that we're separate, we go with God, but I mean, how glorious is that? Like, what happens in that process? Ugh.
It is the most beautiful thing. When someone, now I learned that Jesus told me one time, you know, when we were talking about this in heaven, because I had asked him these questions. And guys, when I say in heaven and I share my stories, please, I say this out of humility, not to give myself a bunch of medals. Guys, I've given up all of my crowns and mantles unto the Lord. Jesus and I, when we were talking about this and he told me something that really wrecked me. He said, Micah, what owns you will come for you. And that really struck me. And he said, whatever is your God will come for you, you know? And, I never forgot that. And so he allowed me later on to see certain, experience certain things where I watched people go to be with the Lord, and there were some wild ones, wild things that Jesus did, and they were the most beautiful things. You know, when he would allow me to see certain passings of people who would go to Jesus, and how angels would come and greet them, and how Jesus sometimes would come and greet them and take them in these chariots. Guys, I also, now this can sound really odd, but I also saw some leaving some strange looking like vehicle things. Okay. Where the person stepped in and they flew on these beautiful, crazy, awesome things and through space time into the glories of God and back of wing horses. And they would go right into heaven. And here's a cool thing. If you have family members that are there, there's a giant portal in heaven that, they can look. It's a huge portal. It's in this hallway that's connected to the throne room where millions of people look through these portals and they look and they can, see loved ones and pray for them. Okay. But whenever someone's about to come home, the Holy Spirit or the angels of the Lord will tell them, hey, a loved one's coming in. They'll send them my name. And so they'll go to the very far edges of heaven through the gates. And they will wait for them, greet them there. And so a family member, you know, the first people they see waiting on the outside of these big stone walls and just jewel towers. And it's just incredible. The grass, everything. It's just incredible. Beautiful, beautiful place. And Abraham will be out there and your loved ones. And I remember watching Abraham, and Abraham is awesome. Guys, he's real. He's tall. He's a little bit bonier. Okay. But he is tall. He's awesome. Just awesome. And he's in this layer of brown. He does have a beard, but his hair is really short, almost kind of like a buzz. And just so happy and such a father. And I remember the Father Abraham song when I first saw this, and everything but like a father to anyone who approaches him. And I watched a family come up, stand with Abraham, and they were so excited. There were a couple of angels, and they could see this starlight coming in, this beautiful starlight coming into heaven, because Jesus was steering or driving a chariot kind of thing with a family member on it. And the flaming horse lands on the ground. Jesus hops up, picks the person up, and they're on the ground. And every family was like, ah, they're like screaming and so excited. They're running towards each other. And then there's Abraham just kind of letting them have their moment. And they greet each other and everything. And there are all these, they're telling them the stories and places they want to tell them. And Jesus and them are talking. And then Jesus brings them to Abraham. The family brings them to Abraham, and Abraham hugs them. And he gives them a big kiss on the cheek and hugs them and gives a big kiss on the cheek. And then they go into, you know, wherever they want to go, you know, whether it's the throne room or wherever places. And I remember they went with Jesus, and I'm still with the tour guide angel there. And I asked the angel, I said, can I ask Abraham a question? Because I really wanted to know. And I said to the angel, I said, can I ask him a question? The angel goes, okay, yeah, that's fine. So I went up to Abraham, and he's tall. He's like 6'4". Okay. And I go up to him, and I said, hello, Abraham. I was a little nervous. I said, hello, Abraham. I said, can I ask you a question? And he said, of course. And I said, why do you do this? And he said, well, the Lord told me my inheritance would be more numerous than the stars. And he said, I have the chance to meeting those who are bought into the covenant and blessing of the Lord. He says, that's what I do here. My job is to greet every loved one that comes in. I'm like, that is just so cool. That what a thing, like, to greet everyone who's brought into the inheritance, brought into the inheritance of Jesus Christ. You know, he gets to meet everyone like that. That is so cool. And then he told me, he said, but I long for the day. And I said, what day? What day is that? He said, I long for the day when Jerusalem, Israel says, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Said, I long for that day for my people to come in to greet them. Isn't that so neat? So, I mean, that's just one of the things. That's just one of the things that happens when we approach death, you know, and the Lord takes us to those places. Now, there is also a dark side to those who do not belong to the Lord, and whatever they served comes for them. You know, and that is a whole different experience. You know, the demons come for them and grab them and take them to where their destination is. And I've seen that as well. And that's a very dark experience, but that does happen. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You can talk. I can just talk about this stuff forever.
This is awesome. This is what, I mean, we ask the questions, you know, we're looking for the answers. We're all trying to dive into this and. Cool. And you went right in. You, once again, the king of the supernatural segues. You helped me right into where I was going with that next, because I want to understand that. Do when we were up there, do we, you know, are we able to look back at our loved ones? Are people looking down on us from heaven? You know, it's such a powerful image. You know, like you said, I can't wait till you make these movies.
Yes,
yeah, the cloud of witnesses. Bro. That's what I was thinking about.
Yes. It is the cloud of witnesses. And, you know, see, the counterfeit of that is what Satan developed. The, you know, the summoning of the dead, the conjuring of the dead, and those things, those are just counterfeits. Our loved ones had gone before us. They're still much very involved in our stories. They pray. I mean, I remember seeing my uncle and my aunt, this was very recent. I texted my family right after it happened. Guys, sometimes I'm swept into these encounters. I don't even know when and how or how it happened. But I'm laying here on my bed, and I get up, because I hear a party going on. And sometimes I'm so used to it that I don't even realize, oh my gosh, I'm in heaven, you know. But I get up out of my bed. It was so smooth how this ended up happening, but because I was just taking a nap. Get up out of my bed because I hear people downstairs, and I'm just mowing my business, not realizing that I'm in a completely different setting. You know, I'm just like, And I see my uncle and my aunt, and they just were beautiful. I mean, guys, they were stunning, and they were smiling. They were at the front door, and there was a party downstairs, and I could hear other people I knew, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm in heaven, because you can still think, and I'm like, I'm in heaven. And my uncle Richard, and he looks up and he waves and he greets me, and I go down the steps and I just hugged him and he hugged me. Oh, it was so awesome, because my uncle Richard passed from cancer, and my aunt Jean, she had Alzheimer's, passed from Alzheimer's. And I hugged him and hugged him and hugged him. And I just, I'm so happy to see you. And then my aunt, I'm so happy to see you. And they told me, we have so much we want to tell you. Are you coming to the party? You know, and I'm thinking, yes, I am coming to the party. But an angel came in right next to me, said, no. It's like, no, you can't go. You got things to do. You know, and phew, instantly, it was I don't know how to explain it. It was like, boom. And the walls, everything changed. And I'm back in my normal house. And I'm like, whoa, that is so cool. And so I texted my family. I said, I just saw Aunt Jean and Uncle Richard. I just described it to them. I said, they're in heaven. They're there. They're in heaven. And they're so happy. And they can't wait to see us. And they're, it was so cool. But yeah, they're still involved. And they're still praying for us and cheering us on. See, that's God's version of it. You know, there were times where my mother's mom was on the earth, Mamo. She used to say that the downstairs in her basement was haunted. And then when I was seeing in the spirit then, and I remember going downstairs into the basement, and I saw a family sitting there. And they were watching me, and they were very curious. And I said, here, come. They said, come talk to us. And I was like, no. And I went upstairs. And I told my mom about it. And I said, Mommy, I saw... And my grandma, Mama, we called her Mama. I said, I saw people down there. And then Mom got an old family book, and she flipped to the pages. And I said, this is them right here. And Mom said, no. She said, those are demons. So we had to go downstairs, and we had to cast them out. And there they were. I saw them. They looked like people. But when they were discovered, they turned into these shadowy, ugly demons immediately. And they were screaming, and they fled. So all this, like, again, guys, Jesus has to lead us into these experiences. You know, there are those counterfeits of seances and medium practices that is demonically influenced. You know, we have to follow Jesus.
Backdoor
entries. Jesus has is real and alive. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I just said backdoor entries. You know, I mean, there's back doors into the spirit realm. You know, that's why people take, you know, psilocybin and ayahuasca and LSD and, you know, these things I firmly believe are, locking keys to the spirit realm, but they're, like you said, they're not led by God or Christ. They are back doors. Yep.
They're back doors in, and they're very dangerous. I had to pray for a guy who, at our church, he was using drugs to access the spiritual world. And he started describing creatures and spiritual beings to me. He said, have you seen something like this? And he started describing it to me. And I said, don't follow that guy. I said, how are you getting in there? And he told me, you know, the type of drugs that he was taking. And I said, man, I said, that I'm going to tell you right now. I said, that's sorcery. In the Old Testament, sorcery was people using substances to access deities, the gods. And that is practiced today through drugs, you know,
pharmakia.
Enoch
all says the fallen LSD. Angels taught them the cutting of roots.
Yeah, to access those things. And heroin, you know, all that. I worked as a chemical dependency counselor many years ago. And a guy would come in on high on meth, and he would talk about the demons he would see, the spiritual beings he would see. And he said, they're around me. They're around me. Eyes dilated and everything. And I put my hand on him, and I told him, I said, in the name of Jesus, I speak the spirit of God over you. And I command those drugs to leave your system right now. And they left his system. He became healed immediately. And the demons left, cause they weren't allowed in my space, in my office, And, you're right. There's back doors that you can get into. To the spiritual world, illegal access.
I can't find the verse. It's driving me nuts. And maybe you know it, Micah, but there's a verse that talks about, that we're all supposed to go in basically the front gate, the into the sheepfold. And it says, there'll be ones that try to come over the sides or come in the, and I can't remember how it says it, but
what verse is that?
I'm trying to find that now. It's driving me nuts.
What verse is that? Yeah, there is a verse about that.
Oh, man. I'm not going to find it. I shouldn't even have brought it up until I found it, but.
Someone maybe in the comments later will put it up there. I love the comments, People are like, there it is, So.
Well, sorry. I just took the air out of the room.
Oh, no, it's okay.
We'll edit it in.
I'll find it somewhere. Yeah. I know I've read it and I've brought it up before because I thought that's such an interesting thing.
Yeah.
It's basically the verse says it's possible to get there, but you aren't going to be allowed to stay.
Yeah.
That's the whole gist of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Micah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. You go ahead. Talk.
I want to go where you guys are going. I can talk about this stuff forever. So if you interrupt me, I'm going to be like, yes.
Well, you're good. I just so grateful to have you back on again and go over this stuff. And once again, it's going to lead me to 10,000 more questions. So we'll reach out to you again in the future. But why don't you let everybody know where they can find you and find your material?
Yeah. So I am on Facebook. Micah Turnbow. I'm on Facebook. You can find me there. I'm also on YouTube. You type in Behold Wonder and you'll find me. I'm on Instagram, Behold Wonder on Instagram. I also have a website, beholdwonder.com, that I write, and there's different ways that I interact with people there. I do these mentor sessions. I have a course that we just released called Angels 101, where I literally talk about different kinds of angels. That we just released, that's a fun thing. And I have a book out that's on Amazon called The Invitation. If you go to my website and you hit the marketplace area, you'll see things from me that are there, but I frequently am on Facebook. I'm always writing, I think Justin was on recently. He came on towards the tail end on one of the lives I did.
Yeah, the Angels 101.
Talking about angels, and it was fun.
The Angels 101.
Yeah, the Angels 101. Yeah, I was on that, and that was fun. So I'm like an encyclopedia of just, of information, because I've just experienced these things, and my job is to really, obviously, I want people have intimacy with God. But I also want them to be, have wisdom in the supernatural realm by what is of God and what isn't, and I want them to walk in the inheritance that is theirs, and we get to experience the supernatural. It doesn't have to be something that's scary. It doesn't have to be something that's rare in our lives, but something that we can experience, under the leadership of Jesus, So, yep, those are my places.
And for you guys that's got questions for Micah, if you are an all-access pass holder with the Prometheus lens in May, Micah's coming on to talk with us and answer your questions. Yep. So get your questions together. Yep.
Oh, my gosh, guys, that's going to be awesome, because people have some questions, and, man, they'll get some. We'll go all over the place on that one. Those are always my favorite Q&As, because people ask things I would never think they would ask. Yeah. So it's going to be fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Micah. We just really appreciate your time, and I can't wait to talk to you again already.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. Thank you for having me. You guys are so fun. So
we enjoy
fun.
It.
Appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Well, everybody out there,
keep on digging, baby.
We thank you for listening to the Dig Bible Podcast. Questions, comments, or future episode ideas, we'd love to hear from you at thedig423@gmail.com. If you enjoy our content, don't forget to share, subscribe, and check out our Facebook group at The Dig Podcast. Remember, you can't lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. You gotta dig.